Welcome to the Behind the Headlines Radio Roundtable. I'm Eric Barnes, publisher of the Memphis Daily News, joined today by Bill Drees from the Memphis Daily News, and Ken Reardon, professor of city and regional planning at the University of Memphis, and a member of the Vance Avenue Collaborative, which is fighting against the destruction of the last of the city's large housing projects. This is the last of the big city housing projects. Foot Homes, anyone who drives down Vance Avenue, to right just near the FedEx Forum, South Main, and there's been a proposal to tear it all down, as the other, I think, nine or so big housing projects in the city have, over the last decade or more, been torn down. Examples of those that have been torn down and replaced with mixed income housing are near Le Bonheur, there's one, and there's one near Uptown and Soulsville and other places. You work with residents of the area, the Vance Avenue Collaborative, and you all have come up with an alternative plan that doesn't really involve tearing down that neighborhood. And let's start there. Why?
Absolutely. Well, increasingly throughout the country, there's been a movement away from what's called a Hope Six approach to reimagining public housing. Under that approach, you relocate everyone, demolish the project, redevelop it after rebranding it as a mixed income community. And in that approach, which has been popular since the early 1990s and recently eclipsed by a decision by the Obama administration to eliminate the program and bring on something called Choice Neighborhood, throughout the country, very few of the former residents were allowed to return, less than 20% nationally. So it has an enormous displacement effect. And then when you look at where people end up, the hope was they would be moving to neighborhoods of opportunity, places with good jobs, better schools, low crime rates, a mix of incomes, and near the services that they need. But the reflection upon this throughout the country and here in Memphis is that those are not the neighborhoods that people have ended up in, that often they've been relocated to other struggling neighborhoods where there are a few good jobs, where there are a few services that they need. And a lot of the folks in at least the last project in the city, Foot Homes, are older folks. A third of them have some form of physical disability. They need to be near the hospital system, the Med, VA, Social Security, the Consolidated School District offices, and then the part-time jobs available at the FedEx Forum and other downtown locations. For them to be relocated to distant neighborhoods, it really disadvantages them. 80% of them do not have private transportation, so they're dependent upon public transit. We've had deep public transit cuts. Those cuts have fallen disproportionately in low-income neighborhoods, not because MATA doesn't like the poor, because that's where the services are. And to balance their budget, it's fallen disproportionately on the neighborhoods where these residents have ended up. So because of that, despite 10 years of very articulate advocacy by the director of the MHA, Robert Lipscomb, in favor of Hope Six, the overwhelming majority of the residents in Foot Homes and in the surrounding neighborhoods, 2 out of 3, have indicated that they're opposed to a Hope Six treatment, and instead, the same percentages, 2 out of 3, have said they want to do a preserve and improve the existing complex.
Okay, a bunch of that's great information, great stuff. And we should point out, we asked Robert Lipscomb, a number of officials from the city to be here to talk, to frame their perspective, and they were unable to be here. So I should get that out of the way up front. Let's talk about, you mentioned displacement, and tell me how that works. So if in the past projects that have been taken down, people got vouchers, is that right? And then they made a choice of where they would live, or were they directed to a place to live?
Good question. So if you're in a public housing project which has been designated for Hope Six redevelopment, you have no choice. You are going to be relocated. It's completely involuntary. You then have to participate in a process through case management system to qualify for a voucher. If you qualify, then you can take that voucher and go to any housing complex that you would choose, public or private, and use it in order to get the housing services that you need.
That's all the time we have this week. Join us again next week.
One of the big problems switching from public housing tenancy to a mobile Section 8 voucher is that under the latter, you have to pick up the full cost of utilities, particularly heating in the winter and cooling in the summer. And a lot of the housing that people end up being relocated to were built in the 70s and 80s, horrible in terms of energy efficiency. Utility bills can be $250 to $400.
And so in right now, anyone living in Foot Homes, they don't pay for their utilities?
They pay only a small portion.
A small portion of it. And again, just so I'm clear, the relocation is, you have, I mean, the advocates of the voucher program, don't they say that, well, you have this choice. I mean, you can choose to live all over the place. It's not that you're being directed into specific neighborhoods or specific housing.
Well, we all know that in America, we have a very high level of income segregation. And in many of the neighborhoods of opportunity that folks hope they could use the voucher to go to, property owners in those communities don't want voucher residents because they're afraid it's going to impede their ability in a weak market to recruit middle-income folks to be the majority of their tenants.
Okay. Bill.
This is a pretty broad philosophical discussion on one level, because as you know, the argument for Hope 6 has been, particularly in Memphis, that the housing projects were the big ones were built in very close proximity to each other, and the argument is that this concentrated poverty to a higher level, and that that concentration in and of itself created problems that were unique to that many housing projects being in one area, and that it made public housing something that ceased to be transitional and became multi-generational. How do you respond to that view of what public housing has been to date?
Yeah, I think, first of all, there isn't a very strong empirical basis for the assertions you just made about the concentration of poverty and its negative effects on the majority of the residents. So we have to first look at what the evidence shows. The second thing, if you're concerned about the concentration of the poor, we are in an area, Foot Homes, which has surrounding it the Vance Avenue neighborhood, where 65% of the land is vacant. If you want to achieve an income mix, you can do so without dislocating the most vulnerable, poorest, and fragile of the elements. Build infill around it, which we could do.
But the critics will say that private development won't come in next to what they view as impoverished, multi-generational, crime-ridden. I mean, I'm just saying what the real critics would say, that no one's going to build around there. No one's going to invest around there because it's just not a place that is going to attract private money. That's all the time we have this week. Join us again next week.